Show 5:30. Thanks for joining us in this small group. We're going to have Leanne Hansen lead us in the pledge, please.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have anybody on Zoom tonight?
Ron was going to try to jump on, but I don't think he's on yet, so.
Okay, well, lovely that we have quorum tonight, and the consent agenda's in front of you, which
Swearing in.
Before we jump to the consent agenda, we are going to do the swearing in of the new board.
I'll take care of that.
So, Ron's not on, so we'll just take care of the people that are here. We're doing this on advice of the attorneys, just out of an abundance of caution. We got challenged a little while ago about this, and since you're technically appointed with this new structure, we're just going to have you go through and we'll swear in the board. So if I'll have you all stand, you should all of you should have a copy of this in front of you.
Yes.
I'll go through a certain portion and then have you repeat after me. So raise your right hand. I and state your name.
David
Gary. Roger Jenkins.
Having been appointed to the office of, and then say board member.
Board member.
No,
having been appointed to the office of board member.
Perfect. To the Board of Trustees for the Cache Valley Transit District.
To the Board of Trustees for the Cache Valley Transit District.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of this state.
And the Constitution of this state.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Fantastic. Now if you all just take a minute.
Yeah, pin in front of you, sign it, please.
Right there. We'll take care of everything else. So thank you.
Thank you. And as a side note to the swearing in of the board members, Flora Strada is our newest board member. Welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, yeah, I am originally from Mexico. I grew up in Mexico. I came here when I was 15. I went to Logan High. I graduated from Logan High, and then I went to USU. I got a bachelor's degree in accounting. Just last year, I got a master's degree in accounting from SUU. So, and I work at Saunders Neidiger in Providence, so I'm an accounting firm.
All right.
Here to go.
Married, three kids, two teenagers, one year old.
Wow.
So busy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. Welcome aboard. We love everybody, but finance people more than others. Okay, enough of that. The consent agenda is in front of you, which includes the approval of the agenda, the approval of the minutes from December 13th, 2023, and notice of our next meeting for February 28th, 2024. I'd accept a motion.
So moved.
Dave Gary, and a second from Mike Arnold. Any discussion? Not hearing any. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? None. Okay. Carrying on, the public comments in front of us. Anybody from the public here tonight? No public comments. Okay. Well, let's move to the board business. Elections of a chair and vice chair by Todd Bueller.
Okay. So I just want to walk you through this. The state code actually requires that the board elect from its body a chair and vice chair. So in looking at Robert's rules, the chair has the ability to open the floor to nominations. Also, when nominations cease, the chair can close that, so you don't have to make a motion or vote on that. if there's a single nominee for the position, you can do that by voice vote. If you have two or more nominees for a position, then we will do a secret ballot. We're gonna have, the board will first do the nomination and vote for the chair, and then we'll do the nomination and vote for vice chair, so that we can just keep that clear. And then once both of those are voted upon, then we'll have Curtis swear those folks into those positions. Any questions?
No, I think I got it.
All right,
okay, we will open the floor nominations first to the chair. Are Are there any nominations for the chair?
I have a question.
Don't you need to have some years of experience?
Yeah, the current bylaws say that you should be on the board for at least 12 months.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anyone here who did or would rather not serve? Okay.
Probably not right now.
It's all right.
Well, we're down to four.
That's okay. Then I nominate Patrick Jenkins.
Okay.
To be chairman.
Other nominations?
Oh, boy.
Okay, I'll close the nomination then.
Yes.
All in favor of Patrick Jenkins as the chair?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Carries. Now the nomination for vice chair. Any nominations?
Leanne
Hansen.
Yeah.
Any other nominations? I love the efficiency of this.
Did anyone else want to do it?
Closing the nominations. All in favor of Leanne Hansen as the vice chair?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Fastest meeting in the world. Thank you.
You guys are now going to be sworn in.
Okay.
And then you get to stand up again.
So how do you stand up? We'll do both of you at the same time.
Okay.
Just remember, when it comes to state your office, make sure you use the appropriate office. We will be listening.
Great.
And state your name.
I'm Patrick Jenkins.
Leanne Hansen.
Having been appointed to the office of?
Having been appointed to the office of board chair.
Board vice chair.
To the Board of Trustees for the Cache Valley Transit District.
To the Board of Trustees for the Cache Valley Transit District.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of this state.
And the Constitution of this state.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Again, please sign.
Okay, we'll come back to that in a second.
Okay.
All right, thank you for making that quick. Consideration of service modification by Todd Buehler.
Okay, in your board packet, I sent you a memo with also a request from an individual. So just to go through this again, the individual, Dorothy, she has pain in her spine that makes it difficult for her to be transported. You know, just the normal bumps in the road and things like that cause difficulty. We've looked at things such as providing a seat cushion, changing the location of where she sits in the vehicle, things of that nature to try to accommodate that pain. But she's requested that we take her directly from her place of residence to her trip and then to her destination and then back again. And as we evaluated that, we really feel that's not a reasonable accommodation, but that's a change in level of service. And if we were to do that, there might be an opportunity that others might say, hey, we want that same level of service. And in order to be fair and equitable, we would have to provide that. So where it's a change in level of service, we felt like that's a board's decision to make. And so that's why we brought this to you. I'm happy to answer any questions.
So just, go please.
Well, I'm not really sure about how the service works, but I've seen smaller buses, right, that go around. So those are for people who need the service, but they go pick them up from home and then they go pick up, I'm assuming, older people. They take them to some place and then they take them back to their places. But she wants just this service for herself. Pick her up and then take her and then back to the
correct. House. Just so she doesn't have to ride as long.
Stops with,
correct. So she doesn't have to be on the bus as long. And so, yeah, it would do what you're saying. It would prevent us from grouping trips, which is more efficient.
Right.
But it would shorten the trip for her. So, and I put on there that currently, you know, we looked at the last month or so, her average paratransit time riding on the bus is 21 minutes. And you know, it would take 30 to 35 minutes if she was doing it on a fixed route. And really that's what the ADA specifies, that it should be similar to a fixed route trip, you know, a similar travel time. So we feel she's getting that similar in travel time service, and so that's why I say I think this would be a change in the level of service.
Is there something we can recommend to her as an alternative?
We've tried. I mean, I think Jody and the team have done a great job of meeting with her and trying to offer some solutions. And really, we feel for her. I mean, she's just dealing with some chronic pain issues that, I mean, it's difficult.
Brad used to do something with taxi around, didn't they? Like some kind of voucher?
We have a voucher program that we partner with Brad on for people outside the transit district boundaries. Awesome. You know, if people have access to call ride, which is what that is, then the voucher program really doesn't qualify for them. And then there's an income threshold too. So I don't think that's an option. Good questions.
Yeah, these are always hard, but I think it's these kinds of answers. I mean, it's almost always the same answer.
Yeah.
It's really hard to
make an
expand service, to make an exception like this, because we'd be inundated and we just wouldn't be able to. Yeah, and we wouldn't be able to handle it.
Could that change, like maybe the time we pick her up? Let's say that instead of picking up, let's say her and then three other people, and then take her to the hospital, and then on the way back, you know, stop, do the other three stops, and then her. Is there a way that maybe we could switch a little the route so that she is the last to pick and then go to the hospital and then be the first to drop off and then do the others?
So I mean, that's something we could probably look at doing, but again, we feel that's a change in service. So the way that this is set up is a lot of it's done by computer software to be efficient, to group trips. And so anytime we start moving away from that, start manipulating things for one individual,
yeah,
you're giving some type of preferential treatment that we worry that that's then discriminatory, potentially discriminatory, yeah, practice, and so we would have to do that for others, right? So I mean, again, we appreciate the concern there.
Custom programming always leads to problems.
Yeah.
So, optional. Yeah.
Does she have family or anyone that can help her?
I don't know on that. I mean, okay. I know she has she has someone that's helping her, right, Jody?
She has a family member that we interact with, but not in this case. We've been working with an advocate and her.
What about the church? Can maybe the church helps them?
That I do not know.
And stuff like that, we leave that to her. I mean, that's not really our role do that.
Yes, we're not a counseling service.
Yeah.
Correct. So, but she did address her request to the board, and as we evaluated, we felt this was something that was rightly addressed to the board. And so I'm just looking for a direction from you as to how you want us to respond. And, you know, we can respond back as we have, or if there's a different response you want us.
Do we need to make a motion?
I would like you to, just to give direction, and then that way we can say we brought this to the board, and this was the board's direction.
If you don't do a motion, it's a little nebulous.
Yes.
So we don't want to leave it unanswered. But there is a trick in this. Again, the board's function is 100% policy. And when we talk about deviations from the existing routes on a case-by-case basis, that's a very significant policy shift. In the bus system, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but in a bus system, there is this great balance between efficiency and effectiveness. And when you start doing custom, you give up efficiency. And really, you also give up effectiveness. So I'm hoping that long-term the board looks at any deviation in that lens of, are we subjecting the efficiency and effectiveness of the entire system for one person, despite how bad we may feel for them and how significant their individual needs are, we're trying to provide for the entire valley.
Yeah. Then I would move that we recognize her dilemma, but that we deny her request.
Okay, motion by Dave Geary. Do we have a second?
Second.
By Glenn Schmidt. Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Somber,
aye. Are there any opposed? Okay. Carries. Clarification, do you need any questions?
No, I think
okay, you got it? All right, let's go on to 7A, legislative update.
I don't have a big update for you just because we're only a couple days into the session, but there were a couple things that I thought that I would just kind of share with you. So one, we think this is going to be a fairly good session and that there's not going to be a ton of impacts to us. There are some small things out there. There's an open public meetings bill that has potential to pass that would change a little bit of how we might function as a board, how you might function as a board. We think it's going a good direction, but again, that's still early on. Really, the two things that I just wanted to brief you on is one, we're going again for our $8 million request. Senator Wilson's helping us with that. Representative Snyder, we're working with. We've presented that request to the Infrastructure Committee, which Senator Wilson's the chair of. Had a good presentation there, had good positive feedback from that. This morning it was presented in what we call the Northern Utah Chamber Coalition. So that's the chamber, the Chambers of Commerce for Davis, Weber, Box Elder, Cache, and Bear Lake area. And they go through and they prioritize what are their transportation priorities. On that priority list, we're number six. And so...
out of how many?
Out of, there's about 15 transportation projects. But they have many different sections, so that's just the transportation project. But that was presented this morning to the group. And one of the things that you know, we're kind of talking with them about, we're reminding them that last year we came out of the Infrastructure Committee as the number 10th ranked project, you know, and then we weren't funded. So hopefully that bodes well for us. But the challenge this year, quite frankly, and Senator Wilson's been very upfront about that, is last year there were more dollars to appropriate than this year. Sales tax has kind of slowed down. But we're still working aggressively to you know, pitch our project and the need for money. So still early, but we've had a lot of meetings there. The other thing I just wanted to brief you, just because you might hear about it, you might see it in the news, and so I just wanted to let you know that we are actively engaged in brainstorming if this bill passes, how would we adjust? But it's kind of been categorized as a bathroom bill. It has a big long name, but yeah.
There was a
big change, yeah.
This afternoon.
Yeah,
okay, perfect.
I'm tracking all of that. Gotcha. Yes, Curtis is right. So this bill does a lot of things. It's focused mostly on education, but it's also grouped in all public bodies. And so that would impact us. But there are several things it's doing, but one of the things that it's focused on is that that a public entity such as ourselves, if we have public restrooms, then we have to make sure that the person using the restroom is using the restroom that is associated with the sex on their birth certificate. We would have to monitor that. And
no, that got changed.
Did that get pulled out?
Just this afternoon.
So the Senate made a big change on that bill today. I was reading through it. I didn't catch that one. But the other thing is there's some things in there where it says that we'll evaluate. Didn't say we had to. Anyway, there's some things we're looking at. But. Essentially, what they're trying to do is we would create more unisex bathrooms, and really where this would apply is at the transit center. We don't have any unisex bathrooms at the transit center. And so if it passes and we're required to do some type of unisex bathroom, we would look at retrofitting that. But we're brainstorming ideas if it happens. As Kurt said, there's some business significant changes just in the time that hit the floor to where it's at now. The Senate made some significant changes there. So. Anyway, we're monitoring, we're tracking, we're part of the Association of Special Districts, and so every Tuesday I go down and we go through every bill that is applicable not just to trans, but water districts and stuff, and so we have a lobbyist down there. We also work with UTA, they help us in monitoring some of this, so there's just a lot of support with regards to that. Just so you're aware, we're engaged. If you have questions, feel free to shoot me an email, and happy to address it on a particular bill. If you see a bill or hear something, you're saying, hey, I have a concern about that, shoot me an email.
We already went back to the feds requesting additional funds.
Yeah, so our big challenge is just gonna be that local match, right? So we're kind of where we're at. The other part of that is we're in the process of getting an appraisal service to appraise our existing facility. Obviously, we would have to dispose of that after we finished our other facility, so that those funds, if we were able to have those funds, would be for a future capital project. But at this point, again, as we've said before, we have the funding to complete the project out there, but it would be helpful if we had the state's appropriation. Because those are really essentially local dollars, and so that would help us put that, build back up that fund balance for our future capital projects, bus replacements, and other capital projects that we're identifying.
Will you let Ron Bushman in? He's on Zoom. Thanks.
Todd, does the new building have unisex bathrooms?
It does, yep. Great question. I'm glad that you're thinking ahead. That's awesome. Yeah, it's got a few, so we will be okay.
Any questions about legislative agenda, things that are going on? Okay. Thanks for all you're doing there, Todd.
Yep.
It's a lot of personal sacrifice to go down there every day, basically. So thank you.
This week it's been that way.
Yeah. How about, can you take us through board training?
You bet. So one of the things that, the state auditor's office did a few years ago was they created an online training. It's self-paced, but it is for you as board members. They would like you to do it at minimum every 4 years. With the fact that we kind of restructured the board, I would just ask that you would do that. So Cherise will be sending you an email with the link to the website, with how you would log in, and the training sessions you should do. And then when you're done, it's going to give you a certificate. If you could just email that back to Cherise, and then we put that in our records. It is something, actually, when they do the financial audit, they actually check those things. It's something that the state auditors added as a requirement. And so that would really help us if you could do that in the next 30 days. We'd love it. If not, we'll keep bugging you. I'm really good to, Cherise tracks all that, and I'm really good. How are we doing, Cherise? She's like, well, all right, send out another reminder. So it shouldn't take you too long. But that's really it.
Okay, thank you. Any questions about that? Under board chair report, can I just make a couple additional comments to what's on here? First and foremost, thank you all for being part of this new board. There's going to be a lot of different changes, a lot of responsibilities, especially organizing and coordinating the different committees going forward. We'll get some conversation out to you very soon on how that will look, but I appreciate that. One topic for staff to consider is maybe we ought to do CBTD bus emails for the board, because if there's a public request for correspondence and in your work email or your personal email, you have to submit everything, and there's a little bit of a process to that. So I think we ought to consider that.
Okay.
Now that it's a much smaller board. Very glad for all you're doing. I want to recognize the employees' anniversaries first and foremost. Curtis Roberts, who's been with us for 17 years. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, one of our drivers, Robert Buse, has been with us for 7 years. So, really awesome that you get the longevity of our employees. That says a lot about the working environment. So, thank you also, managers and supervisors, for all you're doing there. On that note, any other board comments, discussions you want to have?
Can we really quickly read in Ron's?
Hey,
can
Ron.
Can we appoint you?
You need to come off mute. We're going to read an oath of office that you need to respond to.
I am ready.
The camera's right.
Perfect.
There.
Can you see me okay, Ron? And hear me?
Yeah, I can see you.
Okay, so we'll have you raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, and state your name.
I, Ron Bushman.
Having been appointed to the office of board member.
Having been appointed to the office of board member.
To the Board of Trustees for the Cache Valley Transit District.
The Board of Trustees for the Cache Valley Transit District.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend.
Do solemnly swear that I will support,
obey
and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of this state.
The Constitution of this state.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
And I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Welcome to the board.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate that. A couple other comments. One, I know each of you have kind of been engaged in your respective cities and communities that you represent. Special thanks to Sean for what he's been doing in Cache County. Yeah, there's only one Sean here. So thank you, Sean. I think you were raising your hand. You wanted to say something else? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, it's in line with that. I'd like to visit the county in February sometime to just kind of give a summary report of the year, and I figured it'd be nice to just give an overview of the budget for 2023 and the service Is it okay, can we get kind of a synopsis of those two for me to present? Is that doable?
We won't have 23 wrapped up by then.
We won't. Should I do March?
It doesn't have to be closed. It can be projected.
We can do projected.
Yeah, just kind of.
Okay.
Also do general.
Yeah, general, just, you know, mostly to say, hey, this is.
We're in good shape.
Yeah, we're in good shape. This was how we spent the money. This is how our service was.
Yeah, we can give you some general, some good talking points for that.
And I think broadly, we all need those talking points. One of those talking points, if you remember last year, we made a big push to the different communities. When we were going around to those different meetings, we were talking about how there was ridership around 2,800, 2,900 every single day, the days that we were there. We started publishing that on the homepage of cbtdbus.org. If you look on it today, it's up in the 6,000s. So we're making a lot of progress. A lot of people are utilizing this system, and we're doing a lot of good in Cache Valley. So thank you to all those that are responsible for that. Any other comments?
One other quick question.
Yes,
sorry,
please.
About that. I was not. Also, Mr. Zook asked about data about where people get on and off. He was curious about it. Is there some internal effort to kind of use this onboard counter now and see all the stops?
Yeah, we're going to be bringing some service recommendations to you next month. So
we could maybe for my report to the council, we'll skip that part. That can maybe be later when we've gone over that. Okay, thanks.
Yes, sir.
Committee assignments. Are we going to put that together by the next meeting?
Probably.
We're going to have some communication out before then, and probably by that next meeting is when we want to do that. So,
okay.
You know, certainly we would want feedback on what committees you'd be interested in being on. If you have some special skills, like Glenn's kind of boxed into what he can do. We only want him in one place. So, we'll present the different committees and get some feedback on what you want to do. And we're looking for like three on each, right? Because there's only 9 of us. But let's have some conversation about that.
Okay.
Good question. Others? Okay. Not hearing any public comment? I'm not seeing any public. We stand adjourned. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.